truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Thanks to Lee Rollhouse for joining us the first hour on the government limiting our TV viewing options if we don't limit our energy use with television sets and we don't watch something other than Fox. Thank you, Lee. Sure, he'll be back on real soon.
Yeah, people thought that he was a Nazi.
Well, he's not a Nazi, but if he's nonpartisan, man, then I'm, you know, I'm Little Orphan Annie. Actually, I am Little Orphan Annie. If he's not a Nazi, then I'm Anderson Cooper. Anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, and you can watch us on video and listen to us on streaming audio at philhendryshow.com or check out our affiliate list, and we've got an affiliate list that contains the names, obviously, of all the radio stations that carry our show. It'd be great for you to go over there and check all that out, okay? Coming up, Obama feels that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will be found guilty. Now, this is not a good thing for a president to do. We'll explain to you why that is when we get to that. But, you know, terrorists are one thing. Sarah Palin is something else, and she has drawn a huge crowd for her book tour. At least she drew a huge crowd in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where she kicked off her book tour today. She's been called the rock star of the Republican Party, and on Wednesday, her supporters treated her like one. They began lining up the night before for the first stop on Palin's publicity tour for her newly released memoir, Going Rogue, Shivering in the Windswept Michigan Cold, camped out on the concrete outside a shopping mall. After the mall opened in the morning, an estimated 1,500 people in line were outfitted with orange wristbands, which would guarantee them a few seconds of FaceTime with the former Alaska governor. Now, I'm sure they didn't mean to say rock star, because rock stars generally sleep with the people they meet who are standing in line to meet them. Ha 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 ha. You know, so here's what we're going to do. What we're doing right now is waiting for the audio from the book tour to get into us here. But I wanted to mention this. I don't know, and I certainly would like to read the book. I know that Rance has picked it up and he's thumbed through it.
Wait, what do you mean thumbed through it?
It means he didn't read the whole thing. He thumbed it.
I know he thumbs it.
But... You shut up. He's thumbing through the book.
What are you talking about, thumb it?
I know he thumbs it.
He thumbed through the book. And in the book he said, or Rance told me, it's not as bad as he thought it would be. Well, that's not what I would call a boffo recommendation. However, nonetheless, my question is this, and I'll read it. I swear to God, I'll read it. How candid is she really going to be about what went wrong in the 2008 elections when, if she's fully candid, and it contains perhaps accusations against some heavy hitters and power brokers in the Republican Party, they may decide that they don't want to go anywhere near her in 2012 or beyond. So how candid is she really going to be? Is she really, honest to God, going to be stepping on people's toes? Are there huge toes to be stepped on? Or is she just going to crap all over people that were staff? Aha!
See? I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it?
No.
She's not going to go out of her way to accuse or otherwise indict anybody in the Republican Party or in the Republican on the Republican National Committee that is big enough to impede whatever political aspirations she has in the Republican Party. She's not going to cut off her nose to spite her face.
I don't get that.
I don't care whether you get it or not. She's not going to do that. But in order to sell books, you got to have something juicy in there. So what's the next step? Here it is, man. Start talking about some staff members here and Katie Couric there and a whole lot of other stuff that bespeaks someone who wants to have something sensational but not so sensational that she don't get to be president someday, even though she says it ain't on the radar. By the way, one of the reasons why Sarah says it ain't on the radar is because it ain't on the radar, whether she wanted to be or not. I'm just trying to get folks, you know, people say, why do they disrespect? I don't disrespect the governor at all. I don't make you. You'll note if you've listened to the show at all, I've never made fun of her for being a woman. I don't know what that's about. I don't know why anybody would stoop to that level. I know that most of the people and I'm going to say it right now. Most of the people that hate Sarah Palin are women. And these women on TV, the ones that have been dumping on her, I mean, they have gone into full scale bitch mode on this woman. And I'm talking about you too, David Schuster. Now, anyway.
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding around.
You called him gay.
No, I didn't. They did. I mean, most of the people that were knocking Sarah Palin in the national media were all women, and they were all in full-scale, throw-it-into-tenth-gear bitch mode. And you know what I'm saying is true. You know it's true. The women listening to me right now know it's true. Is there anything more dangerous to a woman with political or powerful aspirations of any kind than another woman? Is there anybody more quick to sink a homemade shank right between your shoulder blades if you're a female looking to get, you know, to get a little power in this world than another female? And I'm telling you, throughout the whole campaign, most of the people that were ripping her, I mean, yeah, there's some guys that were making hay while the sun shined with us. There were the usual dullards like Oberman and all those guys. But when they brought on the talking heads to talk about what a mess Sarah Palin was, guess what? 9 times out of 10, it was some chick in, full interstate bitch gear ripping into Palin because, well, you know, who does she think she is, man? She's going to be vice president? Hell, I ain't even made it past floor manager where I work. There's a real pecking order. You know, as white men, we don't get it. As white men, we just climb over top of each other. When we get to where we want to go, everything's good, you know? And I know that people are saying, oh, white man, are you going to go onto the race thing again, Phil? Yeah, I got to keep going onto that thing because most people don't understand it. But I'm going to say this. As white guys, all we have to do is just say, hey, hi, I'm here. Okay, you. Hey, I'm here. You. And then the gigs that are left, you know, is very, very, very few and far between. And that's when the real throat cutting starts. That's when the real bloodletting begins. That's when everybody is climbing all over top of each other, ready to stick one in each other because there's only 2 jobs left. There's 9,000 of them out there, you know, and this sisterhood stuff. Right. I told you, just as a small example of that, when I was over on Facebook one night, I had to report some stupid cow to the FBI. Some chick had put something on one of the news feeds about wanting, you know, to do in Palin. I called the damn FBI. I did. And I'm happy I did it. For all I know, that broad's rotten in some hole someplace. And everywhere you see this. Those who were waiting to have copies of her book signed, it didn't matter to them. They appeared to be ecstatic at the notion of seeing Palin. Many here feverishly wanted to run for president against Obama in 2012. In fact, the tour has many of the same trappings as a campaign. Palin will be traveling from city to city aboard a brightly painted bus. I saw Sarah Palin today on television. She was asked a question that was pretty fair. It was pretty direct by Sean Hannity. He said, what would you be doing differently? And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm telling you this straight up. She didn't have any answers other than to say that returning to the policies of Ronald Reagan, that's the way to go. Now, that's not a bad thing to say, necessarily. I don't fault her for saying Ronald Reagan had it right. I mean, there's a lot of Democrats who for years said the same thing about either Kennedy or Johnson or Roosevelt. But it's not what I call one of the, you know, most original lines that I've ever heard. Well, I think going back to Ronald Reagan, that's really... And then she, you know, said something very bizarre, like, I think we really have to limit these jobs from the job creators. That phrase didn't make any sense at all. But I think he put her on the spot. That's the point I'm trying to make to you. And I know that Hannity is not unfriendly to her. Obviously, he wants her to look good. But when he said what he said, when he asked what he asked, she looked a little dumbfounded. She said, well, I think what we have to do is grow the wealth by energy independence. That was a good answer. Then she made the statement about, I think we need to limit the jobs created by the job creators. That made no sense. It was obviously a misspeak. And then she said, well, Ronald Reagan, he had it right. Now, on ABC News, Sarah Palin is asked what she would do to help the economy if she were president. So basically, Hannity ripped off that question. But here's the original. Here's the original.
We start cutting taxes and allowing our small businesses to keep more of what they're earning, more of what they're producing, more of what they own and earn, so that they can start reinvesting in their businesses and expand and hire more people, not punishing them by forcing health care reform down their throats, by forcing an energy policy down their throats that ultimately will tax them more and cost them more to stay in business. Those are back-ass-word ways of trying to fix the economy.
Right, but, you know, the whole trip about having health insurance for your employees, meaning if an employee can get health insurance from another company, that the company that you want to save from having to pay all that health insurance money, you see, it doesn't make any sense there, Sarah. They're not going to hire anybody if some guy across the street has got health insurance and they don't. So that's point one. However, she did answer that question way better than she did Sean's question. Now, if you think I'm some kind of a liberal and I'm completely in love with Obama, that ain't what I'm about. All I'm about is listening to what people are saying and trying to make sense out of it, and I don't give anybody a break. As you'll see this hour, because the president, who I do admire, said something stupid today, man. Stupid. When he talked about the guilt or the innocence of the 9/11 hijackers. And we'll talk about that when we get back here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're going to be talking in this segment about Eric Holder. And he was at the Congress, he was at the United States Senate hearing today. And like I said, you know what Senate hearings are, or Senate subcommittee hearings, or Senate committee hearings is an opportunity for a guy to stand there and say, well, you know, my constituents would like to know. Nonetheless, Holder was not too good, man. I got to tell you, he wasn't too good. He got his ass handed to him a couple of times, at least the one time I saw by Lindsey Graham, who asked him a question that he couldn't answer. The question was, when in the past have we tried in a civil trial an enemy combatant taken on the field of battle? And Holder had no answer, and Graham, and it took Holder about 10 seconds of squinting his eyes and staring at Graham before Graham said, I can answer the question for you. We've made history. This is the first time. Okay, so that's not too hot. The other problem that we had today was that the president was on NBC, and he said in interviews, not only on NBC and CNN, that experienced prosecutors of the case who specialize in terrorism have offered assurances that we'll convict this person with the evidence they've got through our system. That is walking right up to the edge of saying these guys are guilty. Now, why is that a problem for the President of the United States to say that and not a problem for the Attorney General to say that? It's not a problem for the Attorney General to say it because the Attorney General is prosecuting. He has the evidence. He's going to go into a courtroom and he's going to say to a jury, he's going to say to a judge, he's going to say to the assembled media, this scumbag is guilty of these crimes and we're going to put him in jail because we have evidence to that effect. So that's not a problem for the Attorney General to say that. It's a problem for the President of the United States to say it because he ain't got nothing to do with the prosecution of this. He's the head of the executive branch, but he's not bringing the charges. The United States Justice Department, the Attorney General for the United States, that's who's bringing the charges. That's who issued the indictment originally under Bill Clinton, under President Clinton, an indictment for Osama bin Laden was originated under the Clinton Justice Department. When the President of the United States starts to weigh in on the guilt or innocence of individuals, you've got a problem of the possible pollution of the jury pool. A jury can hear an attorney, prosecuting attorney, they can hear him say, this guy's guilty. That's what they're going to hear in court. That's what they expect him to hear. They understand that. But a jury cannot hear, the president thinks he's guilty. Really? Then he must be. The president's weighing in on this now. Now, back in the day, and we've brought this example up before, when what's-his-name, Chucky Manson, was you know, on trial for his ass because of the Manson, because of this slaughtering of innocent people there at the home of Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski, They had him on trial, and Nixon was giving some talk to some lawyer someplace, and he said, now you take this guy Manson, for instance, and this was just an aside that he was making to address a larger point. He said, you take this guy Manson, now here's a man that's obviously guilty. These were the words of Richard Nixon. That made the headlines on every newspaper in America. Manson's attorneys smuggled that newspaper headline into the courtroom the next day and slipped this newspaper to Charles Manson himself. And when the jury was ushered in and they were fully seated, Manson sprung from his chair and held the newspaper headline up for the jury to see. The judge immediately cleared the jury out of the room. The lawyers for Manson stood up and said, we now request a mistrial, Your Honor. And the judge denied the mistrial motion because it was an obvious attempt on the part of the defense to prejudice the jury. Now, it was also a violation of what the judge had ordered these attorneys not to do, and that was to bring in any kind of press, any material. He'd had this jury sequestered. He didn't want them seeing any of the reporting. These attorneys blatantly violated that ruling from the judge. So they weren't going to get their mistrial. The judge was not going to give them the pleasure of causing a mistrial through their own nefarious deeds. Nonetheless, it wasn't a bad thought on the part of the defense attorneys, and it was already discussed long before the day started the following day for the trial. Nixon may have just given these guys a mistrial. Nixon may have just polluted, possibly, the minds or the opinions or the opinion-making of the jury itself by making this statement. Well, the attorneys took that and ran with it. So they grabbed this headline and they put it into their little suitcases or briefcases, and they were hoping that that would affect a mistrial. It didn't. The fact is, Obama has said what he has said long before the trial's begun. And to dump myself, what you do is you keep your big fat mouth shut from here on out when it comes to the 9/11 suspects. If you're the president, all you say is they're going to be given a fair trial, and the Justice Department will see to that, and I'll be watching with great interest along with all the other people of this country. Thank you very much. Next question. That's what you're supposed to do when you're the president. Here is President Obama as he talks with Chuck Todd of NBC. Todd talks to the president about the decision to try the 9/11 mastermind, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, in New York.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, can you understand why it is offensive to some for this terrorist to get all the legal privileges of an American citizen?
I don't think it will be offensive at all when he's convicted and when the death penalty is applied to him. What I said was that people will not be offended if that's the outcome. I'm not prejudging it. I'm not going to be in that courtroom. That's the job of the prosecutors, the judge, and the jury. What I'm absolutely clear about is that I have complete confidence in the American people and in our legal traditions.
Nice save. Maybe. All right, let's go to our next cut that we have here. This is Obama 2, Obama, 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 Obama 2. This is Senator Lindsey Graham ripping into Eric Holder that the decision to try Mohammed in the U.S. is bad history.
Can you give me a case in United States history where an enemy combatant caught on a battlefield was tried in civilian court?
I don't know. I'd have to look at that. I think that, you know, the determination I've made.
We're making history here, Mr. Attorney General. I'll answer it for you. The answer is no.
Well, I think
the Ghilani case, he was indicted for the Cole bombing before 9/11, and I didn't object to going into federal court. But I'm telling you right now, we're making history, and we're making bad history.
All right, so he brings up the Cole bombing as an example of a civil trial that was conducted, but that was not necessarily on the field of battle because we were not engaged in a running war with these terrorists. Let's go over here to Graham. This is cut 3. The Senator Graham now, he's really leaning into Holder on how his office would treat Osama bin Laden.
Where would you try him?
Well, we'd go through our protocol, and we'd make the determination about where he should appropriately be tried.
Why would you take him someplace different than KSM?
Well, that might be the case. I don't know.
Let's say we capture him tomorrow. When does custodial interrogation begin in his case? If we captured bin Laden tomorrow, would he be entitled to Miranda warnings at the moment of capture?
Again, I'm not. That all depends. I mean,
well, it does not depend. If you're going to prosecute anybody in civilian court, our law is clear that the moment custodial interrogation occurs, the defendant, the criminal defendant, is entitled to a lawyer and to be informed of their right to remain silent.
That is Graham talking about the civil side of things. This was not a good day for Eric Holder. And as a result, it wasn't good for the president. And I'm a little shocked that Holder wasn't better prepared. We'll be back. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. 877-876-PHIL. If I'm getting it wrong, let me know. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Hey, coming up at the top of the hour, Marilyn Donnelly. You know, we didn't have time for Marilyn yesterday. She is with a group called Adam and Eve, which is a pre- and post-surgical transgender organization. And she'll be talking about the health of America. She'll be talking with us. You know, I say she, bud. I know it confuses you.
Well, but he hasn't had a surgery yet, and so on account of that.
We're just going to call her she, okay? Even though she hasn't had the surgery yet, we're going to call her she. And she'll be talking with us about the recent report yesterday that great many states continue to be very unhealthy. We've got a list of the healthy states and the unhealthy states, and she'll talk with us about that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Thanks for being with us tonight. And as we do each and every night, we do a quick review of the news. And I try to, on this show, I just don't belong to any club here. People will say it's impossible. No, it's not impossible. As a matter of fact, most Americans think the way I think. Yeah, I vote for the guy. I don't vote for the party. Most Americans have been conned into thinking that the world falls down on either liberal or conservative or Republican or Democrat or jackass or non-jackass lines because that's what they see being fed to them every day on television. And so we think that's the way we're supposed to think. But you know and I know that that's not how real human beings, real people, that's not how we think. The people we see on television are performers who are hired to perform. And they are hired to perform a show. And so the title of the show is Conservative, or over here it's called Liberal. And they'll say anything, do anything with any animal. Commit any crime, pervert, any animal, do stuff that the Bible forbids, just so they can get that message out and make sure that the consistency of their message is enough to keep the advertisers happy. That's the truth. That is life, as I'm telling you right now. Most of you are like me. Yeah, I like Bush, but I really want Obama to do well. I think he's trying. I think he's under some influence, like all presidents are. You know, there's heavy hitters in his party that want this, that. He makes good decisions. He makes bad decisions. History will judge. How are we living right now? I'm scared. But, the economy is not as bad as everybody said. It was going to be a depression. I don't know. I'm looking for a job. I can't let all these other extraneous things affect me. You know how it is. This is how we are. This is how we go through our day. We don't sit down every day as we tie our shoes and go, I might as well not look for a job. Obama's president. That's a loser. I mean, nobody thinks that way. No real human being thinks that way. We may say, my life sucks because of Obama. That's also the way a loser thinks. However, some people may go that far. Or we say, I just didn't vote for the guy. I don't like him. I don't like his policies. I wish him well. He's my president. I will respect him, but I don't dig this guy. The sooner he's out of there, the better. And, that's just the way it goes. And everybody, a lot of people thought that way about Bush, and that's America, okay? Now, what we had today in Washington, we're going to continue with the audio here because Lindsey Graham, who is a senator from South Carolina, and I always thought he was a little bit of a hayseed until I listened to him more and more, and I found him to be a pretty fair man. He's one of the first people to step up and say some of these lunatics in my own party, the Republican Party, the birthers, they should only die and rot and blow away like dried dog crap, please, thank you. And he says repeatedly that he believes the president is a good man, a well-meaning man, but, he disagrees with him on some of these issues. So what did we have today? We had something that was shocking, and I'll tell you this right now. I felt that the president was smarter than what I saw today. I voted for President Obama because I believed that, yes, he had to throw an olive branch, if you will, to the far left in his party, but that he was going to hold the line, a pretty good hard line on the terrorism issue, that he was going to hold the line against countries like Iran, and so forth, that he was going to be hard-ass with terrorists, and the anti-war left was just going to have to sit and suck on it. And I misjudged, or the pressure got so great that they went ahead and they did something that everybody knows that's got a brain doesn't make any sense. This closing Gitmo, they can't do that. They won't be able to do it. They won't do it in 4 years. It ain't going to happen. It'll never happen. And there's no need for it to happen. No need for it to happen. There's no reason to close Gitmo. This idea that the world thinks we're just the worst guys on earth, well, the world's going to have to get over it. Number two, why do we got to bring this guy to New York and try him here? Well, because some people felt that this was a bad thing to arrest or to detain or to grab or to kick in the ass and throw into a cage and bring over to Gitmo and treat as enemy combatants because they were not under any national flag and yet they were also not civilians. What do we call them? I got a great idea. How about an enemy combatant or a detainee? Nobody dare call them a prisoner of war, even though there were people arguing that they were prisoners of war. The funny thing about that was the people that were arguing they were prisoners of war didn't even call them prisoners of war themselves. So now we bring this guy to New York because he deserved habeas corpus and he deserved a judge. And oh, God, does he deserve a lot of stuff? Yeah, he deserves it all right. And today, Eric Holder was talking before the United States Senate and it was a disaster. It was a disaster for him. He couldn't answer why he would bring Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to New York and yet not have a equally affirmative answer about Osama bin Laden. Couldn't do it. Didn't know if there was precedent in bringing an enemy combatant, someone captured on the battlefield, to a civil court, to an American court. He couldn't answer the question. Graham had to answer it for him. He looked befuddled. He talked a lot of very, very strong words came out of his mouth about, you know, we're going to take these murders and these terrorists and we're going to do this and that. But the actual thinking behind bringing these guys into an American courtroom as opposed to putting them in front of a military tribunal, which is what we've done with just about everybody that we've captured in a fight in this world, he didn't know. I'm stunned. I'm stunned because I have to tell you, I would have thought that this would have been something he'd considered, that he would have talked about with other lawyers, that they would have had their ducks lined up neatly, and he would have said, okay, this is why we're doing this, and here is what we'll do with bin Laden if we capture. I mean, if we capture bin Laden tomorrow, are you trying to tell me that Holder doesn't know what the hell he's going to do with him? Is he going to put him in Gitmo, and is he going to Mirandize him? Is the United States Justice Department, I'm asking this question, is the United States Justice Department suggesting that when we are in a war and we capture a prisoner, that we Mirandize these bastards? Because I'm telling you, if people are laughing, let me ask you a question. What are we doing now? We got these guys that we captured during the initial phases of the Afghanistan war. We got this guy, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, that they pulled out of a safe house in Pakistan, the CIA, the FBI, and Pakistan security, and God knows whoever else, in the middle of the fight. Now, this guy is the equivalent of an enemy agent in the middle of a war. We grab him. We bring him to Guantanamo. We treat him the way he ought to be treated. We waterboard his ass, which, by the way, Holder is tacitly admitting that when we waterboarded him, it was legal, because why would he bring him to New York and have the details of that brought out in open court if it was going to be thrown out as police torture, which could prompt you talk about a mistrial. You know, it is fruit from the poison tree, man. Every piece of evidence relative to this man's waterboarding, thrown out. Is Holder proposing that's a strategy that he's going to employ? Has he got something else that he's thinking about? Nonetheless, here is Eric Holder, again, I if I was the president, I mean, I've said this before, you got to sit down with these people, man, and you got to smack some sense into them, and you got to say, you're going to sit down in front of the Senate? What the hell are you doing? You're standing there, you look like a stumble bum today, man. Well, Mr. President, I was, Mr. President, what? Well, you and I discussed this. Hey, man, don't bring me into this. I already got my ass twisted in the breeze trying to back you up today. And what did you do? You can't even answer this hayseed, this guy from South Carolina asking you about bin Laden. That's number one. Number two, when he asked you the question about was there any precedent, you're sitting there squinting like Mr. Magoo. Well, I wasn't sure. You weren't. Let me tell you something, man. Do I got to send somebody with you to whisper in your ear the answers to some of these questions? I'll tell you one thing there, Eric. Yes, Mr. President. There are days like these, I wish I had John Ashcroft. What do you think of that? Well, that really hurts, sir. Well, I'm telling you, the way I'm feeling these days. All right. So you heard the initial. Here is Lindsey Graham now ripping Holder a new ass at the end of his Q&A with Eric Holder.
I think you've made a fundamental mistake here. You have taken a wartime model that will allow us flexibility when it comes to intelligence gathering, and you have compromised this country's ability to deal with people who are at war with us by interjecting into the system the possibility that they may be given the same constitutional rights as any American citizen. And the main reason that KSM is going to court, apparently, is because the people he decided to kill were here in America and mostly civilian, and the person going into military court decided to kill some military members overseas. I think that is a perversion of the justice system.
Basically, another, if we were attacked tomorrow by enemy soldiers and they killed Americans here on American soil, they go to an American court because they killed Americans on American soil. Forget about the act of war. Well, that's just, why are we really going to discuss that? We don't even know. We've got ourselves so twisted around these days. We've got ourselves so far. Our heads are so far up our asses now. We don't even know if what happened to us on 9/11 was an act of war. We still got our heads so jammed, so far up our asses, we still got 9/11 truth running around out there. We got Jesse the Body Ventura doing a show called Conspiracy Theory. This jackass, because we dragged his ass through the barbed wire in this show, and Jesse being the kind of guy that he is, he ain't going to let nobody do that to him. Now he's going to host a show on where? CNN, about conspiracy theories, which he believes in, by the way. Here is Senator John Kyle. He doesn't understand Holder's logic in bringing KSM to trial in New York.
My job is to look at the...
Wait a minute. Here is Senator John Kyle.
You have repeatedly said that your decision to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in Article III courts is because that's where you have the best chance to prosecute, that the chances of success are enhanced in Article III courts, and that you have access to all the evidence, so you're in a better position to judge than those who are ignorant of that evidence are. How could you be more likely to get a conviction in federal court when Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is already asked to plead guilty before military commission and be executed? How could you be more likely to get a conviction in an Article III court than that?
Well, Senator, you're dealing with...
Hey, gavel, 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 gavel. All right, here's the answer, I think.
My job is to look at the possibilities, Article III, military commission, where is my best chance of success?
Well, if I could interrupt, it would seem to me that given the fact...
I decided that Article III courts were the best place to do that.
Right. I know that's what
Sheikh Mohammed is not making this decision, the Attorney General...
Of course he's not. Mr. Attorney General, you've based this on where you think you're more likely to get a conviction. You talked about the best chance to prosecute, the chances of success are enhanced, and so on. One of the factors has to be the fact that he has at least at some time asked to plead guilty. I mean, you had to have taken that into account.
That was then. I don't know what Khalid Sheikh Mohammed wants to do now, and I'm not going to base a determination on where these cases ought to be brought on what a terrorist, what a murderer wants to do. He will not select the prosecution venue. I will select it, and I have.
Here is Alice Hoagland. After the hearing, her son perished in the crash of Flight 93 in Pennsylvania. She told the Attorney General she opposed his decision.
Attorney General, my name is Alice Hoagland.
Nice to meet you.
I lost my son on Flight 93, and I have great respect for you and your office, but I have to say that I take great exception to your decision to give short shrift to the military commissions and to put the five most heinous criminals and war criminals into court in New York City. I can't help feeling that it does make New York City a much more dangerous place and a target, and it will give these ugly people, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Ramzi bin al-Shib, especially, very eloquent access to all of the media sources in the United States.
All right, well, I know the world is changing, and I know that there are a lot of things that we need to get up to speed on. I didn't know the world was changing so profoundly that we had to change literally the rules of war in a way, because what these men did on 9/11 was, this was a war crime. This was a, and the weak response that people give, well, America has perpetrated all kinds of war. Well, that's fine. You can say anything you want. Of course, you need to have evidence, and you need to put it in its proper context. You need to understand history. There's all kinds of things America did. We're dealing with the here and now. If you're telling me that the world has changed so much that a war crime, a crime against humanity, in the very strictest definition of offered at Nuremberg, the murder, mass murder of civilians, you can't figure out where to hold the trial, and when you finally do, your reasons have nothing to do with the rules of war, have nothing to do with the reality of an attack on the country. It has to do with a campaign promise not to torture and not to shred the Constitution. So you're saying this. You're saying that prisoners of war, let's say that's what they are, that's what everybody wanted us to believe that they were, are to be Mirandized. That is, told they have a right to remain silent, they have a right to an attorney, they have a right to all of the constitutional protections that you and I enjoy, and that's the end of that. No information can be asked of them, no police torture, no police coercion, nothing. It doesn't make any difference if these guys are holding on to intelligence that could save lives. It doesn't make any difference. That's got nothing to do with it. This is going to be something we're going to do from now on. That's exactly the precedent that's been set. That's precisely the precedent that is being set. It's stupid. It's as stupid as the people who argued against the wars in the first place, but those stupid people have gotten their agenda fixed in the prosecution of these people. They have gotten their stupid, silly, bourgeois ideas jammed into the briefcase of Eric Holder. He's going to carry them proudly into a courtroom, and we won't know whether to laugh or cry half the time watching this trial. 877-867-PHIL, a number here in a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Marilyn Donnelly will be coming up on the whole state of our health. Marilyn, our favorite transgender pre-surgical,
I don't get it.
Anyway, she'll be here. The Senate health care bill is unveiled, plus still to come. Marilyn Donnelly, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL. Based upon Eric Holder today, and I don't mean any disrespect, because anybody that's listened to this show, I don't take on this program, I don't take the attitude, I'm already set ideologically, and so I hope that Obama fails, and everything he's got in mind is just going to be a disaster, and I just know it. And frankly, domestically, I don't think the president's far off at all. I think what he has done is as painful as it is and as difficult as it is for some people to understand, and especially when I listen to such shining lights as Sarah Palin of the Republican Party trying to counter what it is that Obama is saying with her own philosophy, and it comes out, let's just go back to Ronald Reagan. I know they ain't got no ideas over there. And I've already said on this show a million times how history changes and how there is an ebb and flow in terms of control and influence that government and business, or the public sector and the private sector, have. We've explained all of this. I ain't going to go back into it, okay? It's time for people to start thinking a little bit more seriously about these things and not just sitting around thumbing it, as Bud would say, because, well, this is the philosophy. I just don't believe in big government. You know, these people that say they don't believe in big government, they don't even know what it is they're talking about. They don't know what big government is. They don't know that the Republican Party is as much in favor of big government as the Democratic Party is. They're just in favor of a different kind of big government. And as far as the conservative movement goes, That's a whole three-hour show as to what is wrong, and the same thing goes for progressives. This is the idle recreation of an affluent and comfortable people sitting and chit-chatting about their political philosophy and, you know, and thinking that we have the luxury of dallying in character assassination, in bringing up and using the Constitution as an umbrella for our own stupid ideas, writing books and writing speeches about how we're shredding the Constitution. The people that say that, and again, I'll bring up the example, and I'll never tire of bringing up the example of the head of the ACLU on this show wasn't even able to make a case. Because he didn't know international law. He didn't know what a prisoner of war was any more than he knew what a damn, you know, probably where he left his briefcase. Anthony Romero was his name. You got lawyers in Canada with nothing better to do than talk about Bush being a war criminal. And when you ask them, well, what is a prisoner of war? They can't tell you either. But then they're up there in Canada, man. What do they got to lose? All right, we're coming back with Marilyn Donnelly. What has she got to lose?
Well, she's going to lose her penis.
And will you let me say it? She's going to lose. I mean, Marilyn Donnelly coming up next on health care and health and can we get healthy? I hope. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Well, she is.